Welcome, everybody, to Table Talk. This is your healthy theological radio addiction. I'm here with Clint Poppy. My name's Brent Kuhlman. We had so much fun the last time in our show when we were doing some post-election diagnoses or analyses.
We had fun. I don't know if the hearers had fun.
Well, I certainly did because I want to edify folks. And I think these are topics that we as pastors should talk about publicly for the sake of edifying people, pedagogical reasons, of course. And so let's do it some more. We're assuming that there's going to be a Biden administration as we talk about this for 4 years. And what we were talking about what we feared, but before we talk some more about that, let's again remind our listeners that God has instituted civil authority, and he will make sure that that authority will continue for the sake of benefiting us. Will there be people who violate their vote? Yes, 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 just like there are unfaithful fathers, unfaithful pastors. But there's still church, there's still family, there's still going to be civil authority because God instituted it, and he's going to see it through.
And the fourth commandment is still the fourth commandment.
Right.
This is where everything that we've been talking about with regard to civil authority, you know, honor your father and mother. Sometimes people struggle with, well, mom and dad. What does that have to do with other authority, with police and city councils and presidents and all this kind of stuff? And we're not always connecting the dots as well as we could or should. Luther on the fourth commandment in the Large Catechism is it's a short read, but it is a marvelous, marvelous read to help connect some of these dots, to help us see that God places all authority is answerable to God. The authorities that we have, the human authorities, are not God. They've been placed there by God, and that we need to be careful that we don't commingle the two kingdoms. And there's a lot of that going on. The church that wants to act like a government policy bureaucratic organization, and the government policy making bureaucratic organizations that want to act like church.
I'll never forget when Bill Kittner, the disgraced state senator of a number of years ago, before his immorality was made public, he went and met with pastors in his district to tell them what had happened. And then he also was telling us privately when he would meet with us that, you know, he'd been forgiven by God for this. And he was not going to obey the governor, who said, you need to resign. And I made the remark to him in my study at Trinity Murdoch, and his personal pastor was with him there, so the personal pastor heard this as well. When I mean personal pastor, this was the guy that was at the state legislature that was doing this role as clergy.
Chaplain.
Yeah, chaplain to the state senators. I made this remark to, at that time, Senator Kittner. I said, you know, you make this, and he was on the right. He was a Republican on the right. So, you know, he'd be a Trump supporter, if you will.
Okay.
And I said, so to be fair, I made the same diagnosis and the same critique that I make against the other side. And I said, Senator, you've made the same mistake as your opponents in the state legislature. Well, what do you mean? I said, you've turned politics into salvation. You won't resign because you think you're a savior. It's as if you leave, salvation won't happen. Utopia won't happen. I don't know if he understood what I was trying to say, or whether he liked it or not, but I said it anyway, because this bears repeating, and we need to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. Civil authority is for this earthly good use. Commend those who do good. Punish the evildoer.
And if your God is your politics, you are breaking the first commandment,
yeah.
And you are in danger of losing your faith and your salvation. If, you know, to be honest, Pastor, there have been some over the last 4 years that have treated President Trump like a deity. And some, you know, on the left or even in the middle have looked at this and said, it's a cult. Well, cult comes from the word cultus, which means worship. Mm-hmm. Now, there may be some reasons why people were really, really, really big Trump supporters. But if it did cross that line to the fact that you were worshiping the ground Donald Trump walked on, or the decisions he made, or bypassing his bad behavior simply because you loved the good behavior or the good policies or executive orders or whatever, there's a call to repentance for you as well.
Absolutely. The creature is not a divinity. The creature remains a creature. And if you treat the creature like a divinity, that's idolatry. And that takes place in every political arena.
Amen.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting, continuing our discussion of the post-election diagnosis, is, you know, with Karl Marx, just to use him as an example, Karl Marx, generally speaking, saw what was out there, whether it was church, civil society, civil authority, etc. And he said, what is has to be destroyed. Now, keep in mind that Karl Marx was not a Christian, and so he didn't have a biblical worldview. And we've discussed this biblical worldview, that God actually works in the world in those three realms or three estates, family, church, civil authority. He did not understand that. He had no biblical worldview in that regard. So he pretended like he was a little divinity, and through what he wrote and through what he taught, he really was trying to create a new humanity and a new world. That's what God does, you see. But see, he had taken over this terminology from the Bible, new humanity, a new world, you know, like 2 Corinthians 5, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, the old has passed away, behold, the new has come. That's the biblical way of talking. But since he didn't believe that for the sake of Christ, he then was going to be the Savior. So when you look at the world and you see what is, whether it's church, family, fill in the blank, what is has to be deconstructed, it has to be destroyed, and you then as the Savior or the little pretend divinity, you're going to create a new world, a new humanity. And for Marx, the new humanity, for lack of better terminology, was the classless society.
Sure.
Okay.
And to use the modern vernacular, Brent, you have to reimagine everything.
All right. Let's run with that.
You have to reimagine. And again,
and this is Marxism. This all flows from Marxism.
This is Marxism, but it's a more palatable, more tolerable word. And it's interesting, you know, especially in the aftermath of the George Floyd incident and the riots that took place all over the nation, including several in like small town Nebraska. There was one in Kearney, Grand Island, Nebraska, Lincoln, Omaha. The one in Omaha turned deadly. But the call after that was, we have to reimagine policing. We have to reimagine or defund police and the police department. We have to reimagine the social justice system. This is when all of this systemic racism started coming out. So we have to reimagine the system. Burn it down didn't sell well. And so burn it down was replaced with the terminology reimagine.
Now, just for the sake of our listeners, I'm going to interrupt you, Clint. Why are we talking about these things? We're talking about these things. We're talking about the election and the ramifications of who was elected president of the United States. We're assuming it's Joe Biden, okay? What will be the ramifications? Well, we're talking about this, and we're trying to give some clarity to what you can expect.
And how the Christian can live in this reimagined world or reimagined society that the newly elected officials in our country have been talking about for the last 10 months or so, that this is what they're going to do when they get elected. So I think it's also safe to say that these policies will be put in place, or there will be a serious attempt to put these kind of policies in place.
And it applies to almost everything in society.
Every aspect of life.
So what is has to be deconstructed. And with that terminology, this flows from the Marxist tree, philosophical tree, deconstruct. So people see what is, church, family, gender, life, justice, police, etc. What is has to be deconstructed. And they say it has to be deconstructed because, listen carefully, folks, listen very carefully to how they talk. These things have to be deconstructed, which means torn down, eliminated, because Christianity and Western civilization is responsible for these evils. Family, gender. Now, that is, when I say gender, I mean we actually believe that if you're a man, you're a man. Biologically, genetically. Genetically, if you're a female, you're female.
God created them male and female. He created them both. Thus saith the Lord.
And marriage, male, female. Genesis 1, he created them male and female in his image. Genesis 2, from the man, he makes a woman, and he brings them together in holy marriage. And from that, children. And so that has to be deconstructed. It has to be eliminated. And then it has to be replaced with something else. And this is what I think we're going to deal with all the more in the next 4 years. The things that God's word teaches as being God-pleasing and for our benefit, not only earthly benefit, but even spiritual and eternal benefit, like the church, coming to church, receiving holy baptism, receiving holy absolution, hearing the gospel preached, eating Christ's body and blood. These things are going to be deconstructed. And part of the deconstruction will be that's part of Western civilization that certain white people instituted to be oppressive on the rest of the world and minorities, etc. You fill in the blank with minorities.
And if you think that defunding and reimagining is only with regard to
the police
departments or a track meet where a biological male competes against biological females, if you think those are the only things that are going to be deconstructed and torn down, it is time to take the blinders off your eyes, because what is right square in the bullseye right now of many people in our country is the church. The church is in the bullseye. The church must be defunded. The church must be deconstructed and reimagined to be a church that fits in well with the political goals and political ideals of those who are in power.
And again, to repeat, when you say political goals, for them they mean salvational goals, because they've merged the two kingdoms, remember? The left-hand kingdom, to use the Lutheran way of talking, generally speaking, again, to make my point, the left-hand kingdom, civil authority, has been merged with the right-hand kingdom, the church and salvational and heavenly things. And so you can't tell one from the other. So when they say these are the solutions, they're really talking religion.
They are.
And salvational.
And I don't think it's too big of a stretch to say that the high and holy sacrament of this new religion is abortion on demand with zero restrictions. And if you deny this high and holy sacrament, then you are irredeemable.
Say more about this, because I think you're right. When we saw Amy Coney Barrett before the Senate Judiciary Committee, this was their one-track mind, wasn't it? Namely, they were so concerned that if she was on the Supreme Court, Roe v. Wade will be overturned, right?
And that was part three of the three-part Supreme Court attack in the name of abortion on the most on the three Donald Trump appointees to the Supreme Court.
Right, right. We'll come back. We've got more to say about this.
Walking around this old and empty house. So hold my hand, I walk with you, my dear.
You are listening to KNNALP 95.7 FM, Lincoln, Nebraska.
All right, welcome back to Table Talk, your healthy theological radio addiction. Clint, in our post-election diagnosis, let's talk some more about family and marriage, because this is really important. Family and marriage are going to be under attack all the more under this administration. So let's review, biblically speaking. Genesis 1, Genesis 2, God makes the male and female. Be fruitful and multiply. Genesis 2, Moses gives the account of how God created the woman, made the woman from Adam's side. God brings the woman to Adam, and he marries them. And so this is all in the context, ladies and gentlemen and brothers and sisters who are listening to this. Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, marriage and family, is all in the context of the very good of God's creation. This is what is pleasing to God. This is how he instituted it in the beginning for our benefit and for our good. This is God-pleasing.
In the marriage liturgy, especially prominent in the Roman Catholic liturgy of the church, when two people are married, it is emphasized that God instituted marriage before the fall into sin, before Adam and Eve brought all the consequences of sin upon us. And I don't think we can emphasize that too much.
Yes, and I've noticed too, by attending my relatives who are married, and they're married as Roman Catholics, I've noticed too, the priests always emphasize having children and having a family. And rightly so. Rightly so. Thanks be to God.
God's powerful word that he spoke to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, that word was so powerful, it continues to produce children today.
Let's also, I don't mean to be provocative. This is not a provocative statement, what I'm about ready to say, but it's true. It sounds provocative because it's not taught very often or rarely. So we've observed in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, before the fall into sin, God institutes marriage and family, and that's done within the context of gender, male and female. Okay? Now, in addition, before the fall, God also has instituted something else. You know what that is? It's the church. It's the church. In the article of creation. See, as Lutherans, Missouri Synod Lutherans, rightly so, we know that I believe that God has made me and all creatures. He's given me my body and soul and all things. That's exactly right. And for pedagogical, simple reasons, we say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And that's absolutely true. And in the context of that creation, God also has church. See, we've been kind of confused about when the church was started. We think that it started only at Pentecost. It wasn't. Seriously.
Some Lutherans think that there was no church before the posting of the 95 Theses on the wall, yeah. You know.
Well,
that foolish, ignorant kind of thought right there.
Are you saying
Adam is the first pastor?
Yes. He's not only serving in the vocation as husband and father, but also pastor, headship, in both ways. But I'm bringing this up because we now live in a culture telling us that we have to deconstruct what is. And what is marriage between a man and a woman, family in the context of a marriage between a man and a woman, and then hearing the word of God in church and enjoying what God has redeemed through his son, Jesus Christ. Let me say more about this. We mentioned the fall into sin. So Adam and Eve, you know, they don't want to live as creatures anymore. They believe Satan's lie. And keep in mind that to be a creature in the Bible, to be a creature is a twofold shape. It's to live by faith in God and his word. That's Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. It's Adam and Eve. God talks in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. And Adam and Eve just say, amen, thank you. And God gives them all of creation for their benefit. Amen, thank you. That's the life of faith. And then there's the life of love. Adam's life of love to Eve as husband, and vice versa with Eve to him as wife, taking care of their children and stewarding the creation. So to be a human being, to be a creature in the Bible, is to live by faith toward God and love outside of yourself to others and the creation. And Adam and Eve then in Genesis 3 believe the satanic lie that don't be content to be a creature, you can be God. And you'll call the shots now. You'll say what's evil and you'll say what's good. And they believed the lie, and that ruined everything. And my point is, so when God the Father sends his son Jesus Christ, he redeems fallen creation and fallen creatures. Why? So that they can live once again. Just run with what I'm saying here. So that they can live once again, as simul justus et peccator, as a creature. Faith toward God for salvation, and then a fruit of that is love towards others. And I'm talking now specifically faith toward God and love for others in the sense of in marriage and family. So Christ didn't undo the very good of creation. He has redeemed it so that we can live once again as creatures, faith and love. And so, folks, if you're picking up what I'm throwing down, one of the big things that we as the church are going to be tempted to do is to give all that up in a Biden administration. And we will be told in the various executive orders or legislation that's passed that marriage between a man and a woman, evil. Marriage between a man and a man, good. And that's the way you have to run it.
Marriage between a man and two women.
Yes.
Or four women.
Or with a dog, or with a horse, or with a house.
Or, the, you know.
Or marrying yourself.
It strikes me that the very opposite of be fruitful and multiply is murder the baby in your womb. The very opposite. And when we are, you know, and I think your analysis of this is brilliant, because by redeeming creation, God gives us the gift of peace and contentment. We are content with being a human. We don't have to strive to be little divinities.
So let me push that. So part of here's the diagnosis, post-election diagnosis, is we, all of us, will be tempted to not live as a creature and to say, it's okay to have an ambition, to have a relationship with a person of the same gender. It's perfectly fine when it's not. And that's, so the it's a satanic lie is what I'm trying to say. See, just as God uses creatures to create life, and just as God uses creatures to take care of life, and just as God uses creatures to preach the gospel faithfully and baptize faithfully, etc., and forgive sins, so also Satan apes God. And Satan uses creatures to tell lies. And so if you're picking up what I'm throwing down, is the temptation is for us is to believe the satanic lie through creatures that say, marriage between a man and a woman, that's evil. What's good is marriage between a man and a man, a woman and a woman, and you create your own family however you want. That's all good.
And children are not a gift and a blessing from God. Children are a curse. Children get in the way of ambition and popularity and whatever. All of these things that we've been slowly fed over the last 20 or 30 years. You know, there's a reason why Marxism took off in Russia and China. Because the church was weak, because the family was weak, and because society was in chaos. That could not happen in Europe. That could not happen in the United States. And so for the last 50, 75 years, there has been a slow but intentional dismantling of the church, family, order in society. And we see all of these things kind of coming to a head this summer. The disorder and panic caused by coronavirus, the disorder and panic caused by the rioting in the streets, the Supreme Court ruling that happened a few years ago that mandated same-sex marriage, the legislated from the bench, the church that has become a political action group rather than boldly standing on the Bible, the Word of God, and speaking the truth unashamedly in season and out. As the church and family and society has been weakened, the stage has been set for this you can be God reimagining, deconstructing of what we know to be an orthodox, faithful, Bible-confessing church. And I think we have a tremendous opportunity right now. This is not a time to be fearful. Take they our life, goods, fame, child, or wife, though these all be gone. We know the rest of that hymn. It's a great time to be a confessional Lutheran. It's a great time to be a Christian with convictions. There are people that are looking for the truth, and they don't know where to go. They worship Trump, they worship this, they worship that, and now they're left without their God. And we can confess the truth and bring to them the one true God and the only salvation that is true salvation, forgiveness of sins through his bloody death and glorious resurrection. Pastor, am I being over dramatic here?
No. When Christ isn't the Savior, and when there's no forgiveness for Christ's sake, then that vacuum is filled by who? By you. And people are going to learn the hard way that they're not their own savior. Michael Jackson, I wish I could have talked to Michael Jackson before he died. Remember, he was baptized as a Missouri Synod Lutheran. Then eventually, Mom became a Jehovah's Witness, and all the boys and the rest of the family, except Dad, became Jehovah's Witnesses. But Michael is a classic example of someone who tried to redeem himself, recreate himself, reconcile himself, and it all ended hellaciously. There's nothing new under the sun, and so under a Biden administration, or whether it's another administration, even a Trump administration, for the sake of the discussion, if you believe that politicians are your saviors, or that you're your own savior, you're going to despair, and the church is going to step in and say, wait a minute, there is forgiveness of sins, there is salvation, but it's done by Jesus, who died for you on the cross and rose from the dead for you. There is forgiveness of sins for you. Jesus, God, he's God for you. God for you in this way. He serves you. He serves you with his life and death.
And when Jesus is God for me, then I don't have to be God for myself. I don't have to listen to that God within me, satanic voice that keeps telling me that I'm not content. And godliness with contentment is great gain, and I can only be content. Aquinas that said, I search until I find my rest in the hands of God?
Well, he may have said that. I'm thinking of Augustine.
Augustine, but that's the rest, the peace, the contentment. To borrow a German phrase, the gewiss.
Yeah, the certainty.
That certainty that we all strive for.
Paul said to the Galatians, for freedom Christ has set you free. And you touched upon it. When you're free from trying to save yourself, or you're finally freed from the false religion we've been talking about, the idolatry of politics, now you're finally set free to do what? To just simply be a creature, to trust Jesus, and then to let him use you in your life as an instrument of love for the sake of others. It's totally freeing. And this is why it's a wonderful opportunity for the church. Really is. Because there's going to be a lot of despairing people.
And this is not a time to fear. This is not a time to be pessimistic. This is a time to shout from the mountaintops the truth of salvation in Jesus and Jesus alone. And whatever happens, God's in control.
And that's why we had this table talk over the last few weeks, is to emphasize ultimately what you just said, that Jesus Christ is the Savior, and you can always trust in him. He doesn't renege. All right, well, stay Lutheran, my friends. We'll talk again another time.